Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
The Volume.
The 82-game NBA preseason is in the books now. It's time for real basketball. The playoffs. Don't miss out any of the playoff action. DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. All you have to do, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. You know the drill. Takes about 90 seconds. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Put in the code COLIN, C-O-L-I-N. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5 to get $200 in bonus bets, and you get it instantly. Code is Colin, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. One no-sweat bet per new customer. Issued as one bonus bet based on amount of initial losing bet. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/promos for deposit, wagering, and eligibility restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
A lot is made of the NBA ratings, and I've touched on this. Baseball, hockey, and the NBA are increasingly international, and I don't think that necessarily helps your domestic ratings. But I do think the NBA is really dynamic. I've said before, the sports that I truly love, NFL, college football, NBA, especially the playoffs, World Cup, and a great UFC fight. That's my five. And sports gambling. But I thought one of the things that's been interesting about the NBA that I really appreciate, and it doesn't benefit the young teams, but it benefits the tough teams, is that the NBA has decided to do this. And this has always been an NFL strength, the ability on the fly to change rules. Baseball really struggles with its traditionalists and its lore and its history. But the NFL has always, even though it's the number one sport by a long shot in America, always views itself as an underdog. And it's not called America's pastime. Baseball is. So the NFL is always willing, views itself as a TV show, always willing to evolve. A few years ago in that Super Bowl, Nick Foles-Brady, the league literally changed its catch rule in the Super Bowl. And a couple juggled catches that, in my opinion, were catches, were granted as touchdowns, and catches that weren't during the regular season or the playoffs before the Super Bowl. So I really do appreciate the NBA. There was a big story this year in the NBA for diehards. I'm not a diehard, but I watch a lot of NBA. After the deadline, trade deadline, I'm into it almost every night or every other night, watching at least a half of a game. And there's been this talk about that they started officiating the sport differently. And I really appreciated this, and I've noticed it in the playoffs. One of the reasons regular seasons are struggling in all major sports outside of football is because other sports lack urgency. The iPhone is distracting all of us. But the NBA decided to call fewer fouls, and I think it's really helped the game. I think these playoff games, there's fewer whistles, there's fewer free throws. I really appreciate this. You know, during that Knicks-Sixers scrum on the floor the other night, and I picked the Sixers to win this. So, you know, I'm looking for Philadelphia to come out of this malaise and beat the Knicks. I think they have more good players. But I appreciated the NBA letting the play go. When the ball's on the floor, give me a break. That is just hustle. A ball hits the floor, players hit the floor. I'm not calling fouls unless it's egregious. I loved the NBA not calling a foul. Effort wins. The Knicks had more effort. What I didn't like is the NBA coming out where the next day they come out and say that, well, there was two fouls and that weren't called and they should have called a timeout. What value does that have? Embarrassing your officials. The game is over. It extends the Reddit board crowd who thinks the league is rigged and there's a conspiracy. We know the league isn't rigged because major markets like Detroit, Atlanta, DC, previously before the last couple of years, New York, have been in the toilet forever. The league is not rooting for Wemby to go to San Antonio, Zion to New Orleans, Ja Morant to Memphis, and to have Oklahoma City and Minnesota and Denver running the West. Steph out and LeBron about to be out. That's not what the NBA is hoping for. But I do appreciate when a league on the fly, even in season, has an interpretation of this is hurting the quality of the product for the fans. And what the NBA has done, they're speeding the game up, fewer whistles. College football has made multiple changes last several years. Speed the clock up. It is my number one complaint. Baseball, by the way, pitch clock, first year. Attendance up 8%, ratings up 11%. People are telling you, we love the games, we don't have all day. So a lot of people criticize the NBA. I thought it was really smart by Adam Silver. People were, they made it sound like it happened in a smoke-filled room. He just said, fewer whistles, let them play. And I think the NBA playoffs to this point have been really good, really intense, and really physical. UConn won a national championship. They were the most physical college basketball team I saw. And Minnesota is pushing around the Suns. It works. It matters. And it makes for a better product. I love sports, but I have kids. You have kids. You have work. I don't have all day. Keep them going. Speed them up. These are TV shows. It's entertainment. It's why Hollywood doesn't have three-hour movies. Right? There's like 2 hours, 15 minutes is the cutoff for most movies, unless they're going to be all-time epics like Oppenheimer. Michael Penix Jr. going to Atlanta at 8. Oh, that's interesting. Well, what they're saying is Kirk Cousins is going to be a 2-year player or a 1-year player. By the way, how lucky is Penix? That O-line, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, two backs. How lucky is Michael Penix?
Wow, that's shocking. I think just because a lot of people, I knew scouts during the season that had Penix as a second rounder. I thought that was crazy. But there was a lot of talk a couple months ago that he was not a top 15 pick. And then to go to Atlanta after they just spent all that money on Cousins, they're also getting a guy coming off a torn Achilles, right, who's not a great athlete. So I completely understand what they're doing. Maybe they're just doubling. I mean, they're not. Maybe. They are doubling down on the quarterback position. They feel good about their defense. They have they've drafted 75 offensive skill guys these last couple of years. Their offensive line's good. Hard for me to hate.
Raheem Morris was an NFL coach, couldn't get the quarterback right, got fired. Goes to the Rams, becomes incredibly great friends with Sean McVay, and Sean McVay made it very clear, dude, we had Goff and moved off. So if Raheem Morris, who's a really smart guy, learned something, you know, as McVay's best friend, you can't be good enough or deep enough at quarterback. We had Goff and we moved off. And so I think this is Raheem Morris saying, listen, this is what I love about this move. A lot of these defensive coaches can struggle with how urgent is quarterback. This is like when Washington had a chance to go out and get people and Ron Rivera wouldn't make the move. Raheem's like, listen, I'm not only going to get Kirk Cousins with this stacked offense, I'm getting his backup. So I got to be honest, I like the move.
Well, think about this. Raheem Morris had a front row seat as the coordinator 2 years ago when Stafford went down and they were completely fucked, right? I mean, it derailed their season. So you're signing a guy to a lot of money who's a really good player when he was healthy, but he's coming off a torn Achilles.
Yeah.
And think about one of their guys in Green Bay just benefited a lot from having a young quarterback on the roster when the Rodgers things got weird. They didn't skip a beat, and now they're a team that everyone's going to love. So this is the old Ron Wolf thing, and Andy followed it. I mean, all these Kyle Shanahan guys, just draft these quarterbacks. You could argue You know, if you're all in on Kirk Cousins this year trying to win, take a defensive player, especially a defensive lineman. Their sack production's been terrible. That's why a lot of people thought they would take an edge rusher or the Texas defensive tackle. But if you're going to go off the beaten path at this position, this guy's good, Colin. I mean, listen, he got hurt a lot, but he has not been hurt the last 2 years. To me, I love this guy. The one concerning thing is when he did play Michigan, who turned out was an NFL team, they were rattling him and he was way off. But that is a one game scenario. He has a large body of work. No one throws a better deep ball. No one, just I would say, start to finish this last 2 years, probably has had a better 2 year stretch. Jaden had a better season this year. Caleb had a better season last year. Same with Drake May. But over the 2 year body of work, you'd have to say Penix was the best, right?
Yeah, and I also think a lot of big game experience. I've defended him on Michigan. You know, my takeaway is a lot of NFL quarterbacks faced Alabama and Nick Saban and looked awful. A lot of NFL quarterbacks can face Georgia over the last 4 years and not look very good. I mean, C.J. Stroud couldn't beat Michigan either. So, I mean, they had a stacked deck, one of the most talented teams in the last decade.
I'm a Michael Penix fan. He's one of my favorite players in this draft. I think the concerning part about it specifically, though, is he was sacked 11 times during the season. Right. He had one of the best offenses, so he never got touched. So he played in somewhat of a situation like a lot of the Ohio State and Alabama guys have over their career, where it's a pretty unreal situation with awesome wide receivers, and he dominated. And then they started getting pressure. They started hitting him. And it's not like he's small. Like, I don't view him as slight quite like Jaden Daniels. But you were at the Oregon game up in Seattle, that Michigan game. Yeah. A couple times you're like, is he going to be able to get up? That's the one. Now, get a little bigger. He doesn't have to play right away. Yeah. Is he immediately one of the better backup quarterbacks in the NFL?
Oh,
he's making eighth pick. He's making $6-7 million. Seems like a pretty good deal.
He's the most talented backup in the NFL, officially. We can go with that. He throws a gorgeous ball. Greg Cosell told me today, Brock Bowers does some things better than anybody in 44 years covering the draft on film. His ability to transition from pre-catch to post-catch after the ball in his hands. He said there's no transition. He's running full speed before and full speed after. There's just no transition. So
I think he's one of the best players in the draft when you just factor in he went to Georgia in the height of their talent and dominated immediately. And it's not like he's a Southern guy. They got him out of Napa, California, which last I checked isn't exactly producing Bosa brother type talents. And I'm sure he just annihilated those guys in practice every day.
I'll tell you what, Brock Bowers is the best player. I mean, holy, somebody's getting a star. Denver, they reached. So Bo Nix, I think in that division with Harbaugh, Herbert, Reed, Mahomes, you got to take a swing here. To me, that's what it feels like. And their O-line, by the way, Peyton built that thing in 1 year. It was top seven by PFF. So you don't have a need there. Mims and Cortland Sutton, you can get a receiver later. They need an edge rusher and a quarterback for the future. I think Denver's actually, I think their roster's okay. It's not great, but it's okay.
I think taking Bo Nix in the first round is pretty nuts. But the way he wants to play, let's face it, Drew Brees the last couple years, when they were successful in the late teens, like 17, 18, was not bombing the ball down the field by any means. Get rid of the ball fast, get rid of the ball accurately. And Sean Payton, sneaky's kind of got a little old school Bill Parcells. He will run the ball once he got Alvin Kamara. So could you just function immediately? Because let's look at their quarterback room right now. It's Jared Stidham and Zach Wilson and DiNucci. I mean, you if that's your quarterback room going into the season, I don't care if Sean Payton turns into Bill Walsh. I mean, is that a 6-win team at best? You'd be in major trouble. In major trouble.
Here's the thing. I saw him play live twice. Here's what I liked about him. He's more athletic than you think.
Well, he's a good athlete.
Really good athlete. Little Alex Smith. Alex gets on the run. You're like, oh, Alex can outrun linebackers. Alex is fast. Bo can move. Bo's got 61 starts. The Oregon offense, to some degree, is Drew Brees's. I'm going to design a play with two options. Throw it to it. So remember, Bo doesn't throw a good deep ball. Brees, last 5 years, he didn't throw a great deep ball. So my take is, Sean talks himself into, listen, I won with Brees, who was the best quarterback in the league with no deep ball the last 4 years. Let's be honest. Patrick Mahomes no longer throws a deep ball. The deep ball's great if you have Tyreek Hill and a handful of receivers. Not a lot of teams are throwing the deep ball consistently. If you have A.J. Brown, it's great. Most teams don't have A.J. Brown. There's a lot of good teams in this league, John, that don't have an over-the-top star receiver.
49ers never throw the ball deep.
Ever. And they're looking to move Ayuk. So my take on Bo Nix is he's a young breeze. And you could say, well, that's ridiculous. But Bryce, the guy's been to the SEC. The Pac-12 was the best it's been in 20 years. He was very good. He was high completion percentage.
He was awesome. I feel like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth because we always talk about the importance of the wiring and the character and all that stuff about Bo Nix. People love what he kind of became at Oregon, the way they talk about him. I also think you got to be careful when you're evaluating the player of falling in love with that. And clearly Sean puts a premium on it. I mean, he spent 15 years around one of the highest character guys in like league history in Drew Brees. And that's where, again, you get back to the Kenny Picketts, those type players, the Mac Jones, where you fall in love with the character and the physical attributes. Is this just also as simple as they were desperate? I mean, like we just talked about before they made the pick, what were they going to do? Roll into the season with DiNucci and Zach Wilson? I mean, they didn't have a choice.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports. And now newly minted first-round picks like number one overall Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and more. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of their first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out their most popular brands like Prism, Select, Donruss, and more, including Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen, such as Draft Night Instance. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd Show. All right, do we want to bring Danny Parkins in to talk Bears? Let's bring Danny in from Chicago. Danny is the most talented young broadcaster, I think, in the country doing radio. Buddy and Nick Wright introduced me years ago. Like Nick Wright, has a borderline gambling problem. That's why I love him. I say that as
borderline is kind.
The problem is with the casinos and the books because he actually wins. He comes from a math family. So, Danny, first of all, I was surprised. I thought they would go defense, Danny, with the pick because the defensive coaches have can pound the table and kind of get usually, you know, they make 2 to 3 times what a coach does, but Ryan Poles has so much steam now, so much momentum. Eberflus doesn't. So my take by getting Roma Dunze, that's a Ryan Poles call. That's my take. Yours?
100%. When Ryan Poles was here, when he got hired, people were asking him about team building philosophy. And he said, remember where I came from. And that's Kansas City, because he got criticism for his first draft where he didn't have a first round pick. taking Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker with his 2 second-round picks. And yeah. I criticized him for not taking a receiver in George Pickens with the Jaquan Brisker pick. And he said, remember where I came from, which he was basically saying, I didn't think anyone there was the right guy to take, but I'm not going to not support the quarterback. He traded for Claypool. It didn't work. He trades the number one pick. He wants DJ Moore attached to it. It does work. He trades a 4th-round pick for Keenan Allen. He's one of the most consistent players in the NFL. And then the 9th pick overall comes up, and he makes what I thought was the obvious pick if he was on the board, and he gives Joe Burrow his Ja'Marr Chase. You know, these guys have a rookie contract timeline that are completely aligned. I know Burrow and Chase were in back-to-back drafts, but the idea is the same, to get Caleb Williams a weapon that he can grow and develop with. I'm ecstatic. This is modern offensive football finally coming to Chicago for the first time in my lifetime.
Pretty nuts.
I mean, you know, John and I were talking about this. When is the last rookie quarterback that got this? This is insane. Gerald Everett's a throw-in. He was the Chargers' best tight end, highly productive.
Well, we've never seen it for a number one overall pick quarterback. We've definitely never seen it for that. Justin Herbert had a very good situation in LA with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. And, you know, he was supported with Austin Eckler and Corey Linsley at center and Rashawn Slater at tackle. And he set the rookie record for passing touchdowns with 31. So we have never seen it for a number one overall pick to have this type of nest to come into and develop. And if I may for a second, because Colin, you and I talked about this on the show about like how Chicago is a place where they've never had offensive success and quarterbacking goes to die and all of that stuff. And that cynicism that Bears fans is well earned. The amount of luck that led to this moment is just staggering. Week 18, 2 years ago, the Bears needed the Texans to beat the Colts, and Davis Mills led a 14-play drive where he converted a 4th-and-10 and a 4th-and-20 on the same drive, and then a 2-point conversion to give them the number one pick in the Bryce Young draft. They then trade the number one pick to the Panthers. The Panthers then have to be so bad, and they lost 4 of those games by only 3 points to give them the number one pick to be in this position to get Caleb Williams. So the stars are finally aligning in Chicago to be set up at quarterback and have a good offense and potentially a great offense for literally the first time in my lifetime with any consistency.
So Minnesota trades up 23-17. Jacksonville slides back. Minnesota selects Dallas Turner. So 10 minutes ago, John and I sort of guessed, we predicted we would go on a defensive run here. So since Latu Latu goes to Indy, Byron Murphy, the small but explosive defensive tackle, a Longhorn, goes to Seattle. It's a real need. Minnesota smartly moves up. So, you know, Minnesota moved up just a little to get J.J. McCarthy. Boy, this division's got good personnel. This division is freaking ridiculous. I'm sure you could do a Pro Bowl, offensive Pro Bowl, with the NFC North that could beat the league. I seriously believe that.
Thing with the Bears. I mean, we're all in love. I mean, how could you not be what they've done? It's not the Packers. We know if that quarterback keeps playing, they're going to be good. You'd assume their defense can't be as shitty as it's been. And the Lions, honestly, should have beat the 49ers, should have been the Super Bowl. So it's, you could have an excellent, improved team and still be the 3rd best team in that division.
It could be a 10-win team gets 3rd place in this division. It could be 3 playoff teams that come out of the North.
Honestly, I think Minnesota and Chicago will battle for a wild card spot. I think Detroit still has the best roster. I think Green Bay's is young, not as good as Detroit's, but it's pretty damn interesting offensively. The Packers defense never delivers. I couldn't say the last year I thought great defense. It just doesn't. The Aaron Rodgers year, it was pretty good, but Green Bay does offense better than anybody. They can't get the defense right, even though they draft it in the first round historically almost every year. So Dallas Turner, that was their
meet.
I
wonder if Poles may say this tonight in his press conference, because you hit on the Claypool situation. I mean, they missed badly on character. And like you said, he came from around Ballard and Andy. I mean, they value character pretty high with their high-end guys. I wonder if they would have taken Rome over Neighbors. Like, Rome was the second wide receiver on their board. It wouldn't shock me with that at all, because his character, from what I was told, is elite.
Yeah, Brock Heward told me that he's one of the two favorite players that he's seen at Washington in being about around the program in about 20 years. And you know what's crazy, too? They kind of telegraphed it. Not the Bears, but Caleb. Like, it came out the other day that Tom Pelissero had it, that Rome Odunze was working out with DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, with Caleb Williams throwing them the ball. Caleb and Rome were on the same flight from L.A. to Detroit for the draft. Caleb put on Instagram a couple hours before the draft how much he liked Rome Odunze's outfit. So I think it might come out, because, I mean, they've been doing install with Caleb Williams. Like, I mean, this has been locked up for 8 weeks that Caleb's going to be a Bear. It wouldn't shock me at all if Ryan Poles admits that he asked Caleb Williams for input on who he wanted them to take at number 9. And so, yeah, the character part for Poles, sure, but it would not surprise me at all if Caleb Williams had at least a say in Rome Odunze being a Bear.
I was told this by multiple scouts and GMs in the league that this is the most talented top of a draft in years. Brock Bowers goes 13. The best run-blocking offensive tackle in years goes 14 to the Saints. Byron Murphy goes 16. Dallas Turner, who was considered a top 8 pick, goes 17. But guys, for years, Danny, I've always been told by scouts, a good draft, you'll have 17 to 18 first-round players, and then it's Death Valley. I was told this year it was 19 to 20. I'm amazed. My guess is Cincinnati's next guys, I think they go wide receiver. You got to defend. Oh, no, they went and got Amarius Mims. This is the first pick I have real questions with. Not a ton of starts. Listen, somebody's going to bust in the first 18 picks. This one scares me.
Yeah, I mean, multiple guys will bust in the first 18 picks. I mean, don't you think this is maybe Joe Burrow needs to be healthy in order for us to be good? Like, when
the Bengals love the height, weight, speed guys too. You know, this guy's got 8 starts or whatever. A little bit of a I wouldn't say a flyer because he comes from Georgia, but pretty risky. But that's kind of their history. I mean, they take some risks.
I mean, yeah, but when Burrow is healthy, they win
for sure. Win big.
So I mean, I know everybody apparently Hendrickson wants to be traded, and T. Higgins wants to be traded, and guys are getting out of there because you can't pay everybody. But I'll roll the dice with a healthy Joe Burrow and a healthy Ja'Marr Chase. And so if this pick helps keep them upright, that's not the worst thing in the world. The run on offensive players was just remarkable. Like, we knew it was going to be the top 7. We're like, oh, maybe it'll be the top 9. But what, it was the top 14? Top 14 picks?
You have to wonder if this is going to start being a trend. You know, with the way college football is much more offensive. I mean, Ohio State, a historic program, is an offensive program now. Alabama, now with DeBoer, going to lean more offense. Georgia's probably the last of a dying breed. Even Brian Kelly, look at him. Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers. I mean, it's just, wonder if this is just kind of where we're headed as a sport.
There's two quarterbacks. Shedeur Sanders will go very high next year. I do think Cam Ward at Miami's a fascinating player. Saw a ton of him at Washington State. He is really electric. There's a third quarterback. I think it's the Georgia kid. Is he eligible? I worry about Georgia guys.
Keep an eye on him.
They literally play with, like, it's 28 NFL guys. You know, it's like, I just don't. It's like JJ McCarthy. Jesus, did you ever trail? Did you ever not have a 3rd and 2? I mean, when was 3rd and 14? I mean, that's like the league.
I mean, J.J. McCarthy went a half without being asked to throw a football.
Dude, he was Jimmy Garoppolo of college football.
There's a stat that he only threw the ball, and I'm this is top of the head. Like, he only threw the ball on 3rd down like 34 times the whole season or something. I looked at the stat and I'm like, oh no, that's not the NFL. That's like, well, I mean, Alabama quarterbacks, Georgia quarterbacks historically, and that Michigan team, when you get 18 pro players, Like, that's why I've defended Michael Penix, Danny, with Michigan. I'm like, do you know how many good quarterbacks look bad during that 15-year Alabama Nick Saban defensive run? Like, right. Penix was great. I watched him twice against Oregon. Like, he was exceptional. Michigan beat C.J. Stroud. So, like, I'm going to give you Michigan. You were overwhelmed. I'm okay with that.
The Penix thing, I'm sure you guys talked about it a ton. It's obviously the biggest surprise pick of the draft so far. Brian Baldinger said to me on the show, he was like, I hear Atlanta's taking a QB and that they love Penix. This was like 10 days ago. And I thought it was the dumbest thing I had ever heard because they gave Kirk Cousins $100 million. Their last three first-round picks are skill position guys. The defense is pretty good. Like, go try to win a division and get a piece for right now. But I wonder if they're saying, we are good. Cousins is going to make us better. And so we're not going to be picking in the top 10 for the next couple of years. So Michael Penix will learn from Kirk Cousins and we'll have an elite quarterback prospect learn from Cousins. And then they'll never have to pick in the top 10 again for the next decade.
Danny, basically they're saying, we're going to do a Green Bay Packer. We're just going to, this is who, in
they just
lifetime,
did it with the old guy.
Yeah.
Because Penix, I thought, was ready to play day one because of his age, but they're going to make him sit for 2 years at least.
My guess is he sits for a year. Also,
you think so?
Well, Cousins
$100 million guaranteed.
I know
for Cousins,
but I know, but they're not paying anybody offensively. That's why they went in free agency and can get a Rondale Moore. They can go get players. They don't have, I mean, Jarrett, the defensive lineman's making money. They're not paying. I mean, they had so much money for Kirk. They're not paying very many people.
I wonder if that owner got so scarred after watching the quarterback play these last 2 years and says, under no circumstances after dealing with Matt Ryan for a decade, are we ever dealing with this again? So not only was he behind it, I wonder if he kind of pushed for it. Like, just double down on this position. Because watching Desmond Ridder
like
last
always
year.
Always have a succession plan. That's interesting. Yeah, that's possible. That would be an ownership thing.
And Raheem Morris, I was telling Colin, think 2 years ago, had a front row seat. Stafford went down and the whole season got derailed. And now Cousins coming off an Achilles.
Yeah.
Now it's an expensive Achilles, $100 million, but still.
Danny, we said this. Raheem was a head coach, got fired. Why? Quarterback. He goes to L.A. He becomes Sean McVay's best friend. McVay is in his ear saying, dude, you're going to get another job, but let me just tell you, we upgraded off a Super Bowl quarterback. You cannot be good enough or deep enough at quarterback. And I do think Raheem is one of these, you know, these defensive coaches wear me out. But I do think Raheem, I've been told, I mean, he is quick. He is also kind of a progressive. He's not one of these, like, you know, I watched Pittsburgh Steelers offense sometime. I'm like, can you guys run motion? I mean, it looks like I'm watching the NFL Network and the 80s. It's like there are these defensive coaches, Pete Carroll. I'm like, can you get an offensive line right, Pete? McDermott, they couldn't get a run game for 7 years. Raheem's not that guy. He's got a little bit, I'm trying to think. D'Amico Ryans is the same. He's a defensive coach coming from an offensive culture. And I think it matters. I think Kyle Shanahan, D'Amico comes out and says, I get the league. And I think Raheem Morris says, I get the league. I'm with McVay. Those guys, by the way, has anybody on McVay's tree not worked yet?
Right. Which is, I mean, which is why I wanted the Bears to fire Eberflus and hire someone better than Shane Waldron. Although he is, you know, kind of, he's on the tree as well. He's an old passing game coordinator there. Offense is the way of the league. And obviously, if you hit at quarterback, it's never a bad pick. It's just a shocking allocation of resources to draft the old quarterback with the injuries in terms of a draft prospect when you just signed the old quarterback coming off of the big injury. Like, this is a very unconventional thing. At least with Jordan Love, it had worked for the franchise before and they thought Rodgers was done. But then Rodgers shocked him and won a couple of MVPs. Kirk Cousins hasn't played a game for the Falcons and they drafted his replacement.
Okay. Danny Parkins has a book, Pipeline to the Pros. It's outstanding. Also, Danny Parkins and Spiegel. It's Chicago. It's a big radio hit. I can't believe we got you. It's 9:17. You have a family and young children.
Colin, I'm in Detroit. It's 10:17. I'm in Detroit to see the Bears get Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze. I left my 4-year-old and 2-year-old to my wife in Chicago. I'm here for the party, my man.
Colin, the Bears just won the 2027 Super Bowl tonight. Come on.
Yeah. I'm texting Nick Wright, taunting him that there's no shame in Patrick Mahomes losing to Tom Brady and Caleb Williams in Super Bowls.
The Volume.
Thanks so much for listening. If you've enjoyed the podcast, take a moment, rate, and review.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way.
It's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.